We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Well, thanks everyone for being here on this beautiful spring day. I would say we deserve it because it's true, we do deserve it. We recently wrapped up our annual budget in Albany. We had to go to overtime, but I think we ended up with a very good budget. Today we're here to discuss housing, but let me hit on a few of the hot budget topics. We made good investments in the city of Buffalo. We increased education aid. The city's getting a $25 million increase. It's really an important investment in schools. We need to keep it going. For the first time since 2012, the city of Buffalo is getting an increase in AIM funding. It's an extra $5 million. And I know that is a priority of the city of Buffalo. And I've heard that loud and clear. Buffalo's always also getting a $12.5 million new funding for an anti-poverty program. These funds, programs, and resources will help city residents who are living in poverty try to get them out of poverty. And then finally, we were able to secure $7 million to help support our refugee resettlement agencies to continue the fine work we're doing. But now on to the main event. So today we're joined by a broad collection of leaders from our community. The group you have behind here are innovators. There are people who are working to look at Buffalo housing in a different way. These are the movers and the shakers in the Buffalo housing world. They might not identify themselves that way, but all together, they are the ones doing the good work and really changing the way we look at housing policy. We've got my colleagues in government, Assemblymember John Rivera, council members David Rivera, Rashid Wyatt, and Mitch Nowakowski. Assembly member and majority leader Crystal People-Stokes sends her regards, but she couldn't make it today. And we're also joined by the guru of Buffalo housing policies, the original, the OG, Dr. Henry Lewis Taylor, UB Center for Urban Studies. He's been talking about Buffalo housing before any of us was talking about Buffalo housing. And Reverend George Nicholas, a longtime advocate for social justice and community health and community revitalization in Buffalo. We have local landlords, Habitat for Humanity, the Buffalo Land Bank, the Western New York Law Center, Buffalo Niagara Realtors Association, local builders, people who actually do the work, Rocco Termini and the Severin family, including the third generations of the Severin family. I don't know if she knows it yet, but she's the next one to be doing all the work. So everyone here has one thing in common. We all want to break the status quo of Buffalo's housing policy. We know the story. Decades ago, Buffalo's population started to shrink. Our main housing challenge is, what do we do with the vacant houses? Leaders recognized that too much vacancy was a threat to neighborhoods, so the response was demolishing thousands and thousands of homes. But there was virtually no new construction to replace those homes. Here's the thing though, a rundown demolished house, we all know that's a drag on a neighborhood, but you know what else is a drag on a neighborhood? Empty, vacant, overgrown lots. Think about it. What's the most important ingredient when you're creating a neighborhood? It's neighbors. We got out into the community this week to prepare for this press conference. We spoke with a woman named Sharon, who lives around the corner. She's lived here for over 30 years. She remembers when a family lived on the house on this lot. That family raised their children here, became elderly, and moved not long after the house was demolished. That was 20 years ago. So the same neighborhood who was being negatively impacted by a vacant house is now being negatively impacted by a vacant lot. That means 20 years of a vacant lot dragging down the property values, 20 years without a household contributing to the tax base, and 20 years of no neighbors. Part of the reason Buffalo's in financial problems is because they've lost tens of thousands of tax-paying homes. If every house that was demolished in the last 20 years was still paying taxes, Buffalo would have a budget surplus as opposed to a budget deficit. But in the last years, Buffalo's population has turned, starting to go up again. The problem is we don't have enough housing to take care of that modest growth. Just 10,000 people over the course of a decade have moved into Buffalo, and you can feel the squeeze on the housing market. Buffalo's not the only city dealing with these problems. In the state government, we've seen a renewed focus on housing and housing that's designed to be affordable. It's been a hot topic around budget time. But most of the time when you talk about the state's housing challenges, it always goes back to New York City. The problem facing cities like Buffalo are very different than New York City. New York City challenges are based on not having enough land. For decades, they've had nowhere to go but to build up. So most of the state's housing programs were created to solve that problem. Makes sense if you live in Brooklyn, but most of our existing housing programs apply that same one-size-fits-all solution to the entire state. So we're here today to announce we're entering into a new era. With this year's budget, we're finally creating regional solutions to our regional housing problems. For too long, Buffalo has been an afterthought. The state's had this attitude. If it works in Brooklyn, then sure, it'll work in Buffalo. But guess what? It never worked in Buffalo. It's what led us to our current problems. So this year, we're investing $80 million in two new programs that will add safe and affordable units to the market throughout upstate New York. Some of you will recognize these programs from a presentation I gave at Crane Library in January. The first $40 million is going to go to an infill housing program, so you could have a house on this lot. The program will help build one and two family homes, Buffalo, Albany, Rochester, Syracuse, and Binghamton. These are the cities where there's thousands of vacant lots just like this one. The program will cover construction costs for the lots and subsidize the sale of new homes to low and moderate residents. Residents who live in this neighborhood. Residents who are apartment dweller nows who will be able to afford to buy a new house on this lot. Program is two big differences from our existing programs. First, we're not using tax breaks to build these houses. It will add to the tax roll, not take away from them. And second, we're building houses for people to buy instead of apartments for people to rent. This community deserves to have equity in their homes. This community deserves to have savings over the years reflected in a house that they own. What that means, it's a chance to build generational wealth, something that's been denied to Buffalonians for too long. And if you want to create safe and strong neighborhoods, you have to start with the home ownership base. When people have skin in the game, they're more invested in their communities, they're more invested in their schools, they're more invested in their surroundings. The additional $40 million will fund a new grant program to help small landlords in the city of Buffalo fix up vacant and rundown rental properties and get them back on the market. We know the average landlord in Buffalo is a lot different than the average landlord in Manhattan. The average Buffalo landlord is more likely to be a retired municipal employee who raised her kids in a double, but now she's a widower and she can't afford to fix that roof or to replace the heater in the hot water tank. This is the first time New York State's ever created a program for this type of landlord, so it'll be a big win for landlords. But of course, the real beneficiary are going to be renters. In exchange for the grant, the landlord will bring the house up to the federal quality housing standard, so people will have nicer apartments, and the landlord will agree to keep the unit affordable for 10 years. On top of that, we're putting an extra $10 million into eviction prevention programs. We've been struggling for years to come up with a comprehensive housing policy at the state level. I believe the impacts on cities like Buffalo has been the missing piece. You can't have a comprehensive housing program if it doesn't cure the ills of Buffalo. So this is a big first step towards improving affordability in Buffalo. But this is just year one. This will be continued funding. It will go this year, next year, the year after. But more important than the funding is the shift in perspective. It's the recognition that we need more out of state housing programs than just building affordable units. There has to be a plan to create neighborhoods. There has to be a plan to help people accrue generational wealth. We can't measure success by asking, do we have 10 more affordable units? Instead, we should be asking, are we strengthening our communities? Are we helping people build wealth? Are we creating more opportunity for everyone? And if the answer is yes to those, then you've got a good housing plan. So these programs are a major step in that direction, and I'm proud to have played a part with everyone here today in making this a reality. It wouldn't have been possible without voices from Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, and Albany joining together to say, hey, what about us? We need to fix our problems. And that includes many of the advocates who are here today, and it includes members of the legislature representing upstate cities. So one of the strongest allies in this fight has been Assembly Member John Rivera. John's a product of the West Side. He watched disinvestment. He watched demolitions, and he wants to make his neighborhood stronger again. So it's my pleasure to bring up John Rivera.
Well, I want to thank above all Senator Ryan, and he's a modest guy if you know him. What he won't tell you is that so much of this was so much on his shoulders. The truth of it is, number one, to create a brand new housing program in a state with the kind of bureaucracy we have is hard. Number two, to create a housing program specific to upstate New York in a state where bureaucracy is this bad is almost impossible. But Senator Ryan saw, you know, had this vision, had this plan, and he saw it through. And it's easy to sort of sit on the sidelines and say, well, that's kind of ambitious. I don't know if we'll be able to pull it off. But Senator Ryan delivered. And he did it through his leadership among the other members of the upstate delegations, but also knowing his stuff. You know, it's interesting, when we pursue this sort of work in public service, there's a lot of noise around us that happens all the time around things we should do or things we could do. Rarely do we have the opportunity to do something that we, you know, to demonstrate that we can deliver something. So above all, I want to, you know, give a lot of respect and a lot of praise to Senator Ryan. And I think we should just give him a round of applause for all of his work that he did on this. The truth of it is, you know, he said it well in that for too many years, New York State had a kind of a cookie cutter approach on housing. And he's right. Things that we make for Manhattan don't necessarily fit in Buffalo. What we have here is something that I experienced my whole life. I grew up on 14th Street between Mass and Rhode Island, and bit by bit, we see neighborhoods change because of one demolition, then another demolition, then another demolition. Before you know it, you have vacant lots around you. Little by little, the tax base erodes. Little by little, neighborhoods look different. Little by little, there's less and less investment. So what do we have to do? It's not, you know, building, you know, 100-story buildings. It's not increasing rents. What it's going to do is we're going to build houses that are this so that people, number one, can live in dignity. Two, people that live in the neighborhood currently can afford to live in it now. And three, we're going to do so by creating generational wealth. We are going to make people homeowners. Because in Buffalo, that's possible. In Rochester, that's possible. In Binghamton, in Syracuse, and Albany, that's possible. And that should be our goal. You know, when I speak to my colleagues about Buffalo and our housing problems, they ask me, how much did you pay for your house? Or how much does an average house go for? And they are shocked to find how affordable it is in Buffalo compared to where they're used to in Manhattan and in Brooklyn and in Queens. So we're missing the boat every day that goes by when we're not focusing on creating home ownership. And that's what this does. And the beauty about this program is, like the senator said, it's going to add to the tax base immediately. We are not incentivizing the creation of home ownership and then thinking of the city as an afterthought. No, we are going to add to the tax base day one. That's why this plan is going to go so well. That's why it's gathering the kind of attention it's gathered. And he's right that we wouldn't be able to do any of this without the leadership and around and without the colleagues that we have around us and those moving to get this forward. That's why I want to acknowledge one of the more vocal voices and the man that taught me just about everything I know, Councilman David Rivera. Good job, Chuck.
Thank you. Yes. You wouldn't know that he is my son unless he mentioned it. Let me just congratulate Sean Ryan for championing this process. He came before the Common Council just recently and explained the four-point plan and the impact that it was going to have on the city of Buffalo and the neighbors, whether it's 2,000 new units, rehabs, insulation, prevention of evictions. All of those met the needs that the city of Buffalo has. City of Buffalo has approximately maybe 10,000 vacant lots throughout the city that are similar to this one, perhaps a little more blighted. They become places where people are just dumping things. It's a place where people are loitering for the wrong reasons. And now we're putting those vacant lots back into the community. And there is a benefit to the neighborhood and to the city of Buffalo. I'm hopeful that the city of Buffalo will join in making sure that those lots that we're going to designate in this program are more affordable, so that can reduce the cost. Our goal is to make sure that people that want to stay in the neighborhood, where they grew up, where they do business, where they recreate, where they go to church, where they go to community centers, are able to stay in the district. My experience has been the opposite. People are calling me and say, Mr. Rivera, I have to leave the neighborhood because I can't afford the rents. They just raised my rent $500 all at once. And I have to move somewhere I don't want to go to. But we want to make sure they're able to stay in this neighborhood, that people that live in this neighborhood can afford to buy this house. And I just want to thank Sean, I call him Sean, the Senator Ryan, because it did seem next to impossible. We said, wow, you're going to go to Albany, you're going to get all those legislators to agree with you. I don't know how you're going to do it, but I support it because that's what I experience in the neighborhood that I'm in. I mean, we've had vacant lots. We have infill housing coming right now, but there is a need for more affordable housing units. As the senator said, our population is growing and new Americans are coming into this area. And we want to make sure that they can afford to live in this area as well. So let me thank all the people that are behind me. My faith just grew much more in this week. When I read the article in the paper, I said, wow, he actually got it done. But that shouldn't surprise me because he's done so much. Thank you on behalf of the city for the increase in AIM. Thank you for all that you have delivered for your district and for this region. Thank you so much.
Bring up
Thank you. It's my honor to introduce a colleague in city government that is very progressive, very outspoken, passionate about affordable housing from day one. Rashid Wyatt is the person that is on a mission. Once he gets on a subject, he doesn't let go. And so I want to introduce Council Member, University District Council Member Rashid Wyatt.
Thank you, David. Thank you. I'm extremely excited to be here today. Senator Ryan, people said that you couldn't do this. We were told, oh, you're not going to be able to get this done. one of the issues in the city of Buffalo, you've kind of put your thumb on it. It's housing, stupid. It's as simple as that. It's housing. And he did something that I've been talking to Dr. Taylor and Pastor Nicholas about, is how do we revitalize the East Side? Well, you revitalize East Side by putting housing there, affordable housing, and own home ownership. It's just not about affordable, but it's about home ownership. And Sean, Senator Ryan has done something that it should have took 20 years for this to happen. These are things that we've seen happen over decades. And when we look at a neighborhood like the neighborhood that we're in, these are neighborhoods that need the type of dollars that he's bringing. We've not talked about landlords, and I'm not talking about these landlords that live out of the state or live out of the city that owns hundreds of homes. I'm talking about mom and pops. Last year, I had a community meeting regarding evictions, and many of the folks who came before me were mom and pops that talked about the evictions, how unfair, because they could not afford to fix the roofs and things like that. So the dollars that Senator Ryan has gotten for the city of Buffalo and for those mom and pops are crucial. And so I'm not going to stand here long because we talked about enough, but I want to commend him for taking the tenacity to make sure he stood up for the people of the city of Buffalo, especially as it relates to the East Side. I mean, Dr. Taylor and I have had a lot of conversation, and it seems as though the East Side has been forgotten, but the Senator has encumbered the dollars for the East Side to be addressed. And so again, I thank you so much for your tenacity. I thank you for your vision, and the residents of the city of Buffalo, thank you for believing and not putting them first and not putting them last. Thank you, Senator Ryan. Also, I want to bring up a colleague who I know that this is going to help benefit tremendously for his district and Fillmore, Councilmember Mitch Nowakowski.
Thank you so much. I want to first say it feels like it's Christmas in April, Senator, with all the things that are being delivered to the municipality. But I knew I was a betting man, did not bet against Sean Ryan. I come from his office and Councilmember Rivera's, so I know how dedicated, intelligent, and clever they are. And my district is very unique and is ultimately the biggest benefit to these programs, because when you look at my district, I have to work in adaptive reuse when it comes to large structures. I have to get rental housing in there because I have seniors that ultimately want to leave their structures and go rent and not have the tough burden of being a homeowner. But then I have a new generation of people that want to be homeowners. And so a lot of the folks that are behind me are practitioners. And I was actually at a meeting in my district at the Old First Ward Community Center with Benelik. And one of my constituents said something very beautiful and said, I want everyone in my neighborhood to be able to have the opportunity to be a homeowner. And that was really special for them to not only encourage infill housing in their neighborhoods, but really to extend those benefits to the next generation. So there are a series and a multitude of ways in housing strategies to be able to tackle these problems and to tackle blight. We do need to hold, you know, landlords accountable, but we also need to give them tools and resources. We need to have infill housing to start taking the vacant lots off of the city tax rolls and make them homeowners, and to build back that density, because arguably I probably have the most concentration of vacant lots and blight in my district. And if you knock on some of those homes before safety, people would say, I want neighbors and I want to be able to live in a real community that's walkable and accessible. And that density ultimately brings harmony, and it brings strength and safety. So thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So there's an old story. I don't know if it's the Greeks or the Romans, but there was a figure called Cassandra. And Cassandra warned of danger. And people didn't believe Cassandra. They didn't heed her calls. They didn't listen. And when the danger came, they weren't ready. Dr. Henry Lewis Taylor has been a Cassandra in our community. He's been warning about what's going to become of Buffalo unless we fix things. He's been warning about what's going to become of Buffalo if we keep destroying wealth, creating opportunities, what's going to become of our neighborhood, what's going to become of our community health. So I, for one, have been listening to Dr. Taylor for the last 2 decades, and I continue to listen to him. And he was very influential in the creating of this plan. So it's my pleasure to bring up Dr. Henry Lewis Taylor.
This is an important day. If you look around and see the vacant lots. They represented the unmaking of community. This program, spawned by the senator, represents the beginning of the remaking of community. One of the single most important things that the senator did was to recognize the importance of partnership, that government must partnership with folks down on the ground in the neighborhoods and the communities in order to make things happen. And that's why we reached out and cemented this relationship and partnership when vision meets vision. Also, he understood that while the focus is on infills, that much more is needed to build a community. And that's the importance of understanding the first step, the beginning, not the ending. Work lies ahead. We've had infill housing projects before, but this one will be different. This one will recognize the integrity of the neighborhood and not try to recreate Amherst on Glenwood.
I'll clap for that.
But it will also recognize the importance and the significance of all folks on the street being involved in what happens on that street. Yes, they said this was impossible. But my grandfather taught me that impossible only defines the degree of difficulty in achieving a task. And so it was impossible, and that's why it happened, and it took time. We also, on this day, say we will continue in our fight to transform the East Side for the actually existing population living on the East Side. Thank you.
Great, you're great. Habitat for Humanity has been at the table for a long time in Buffalo, trying to tackle the issue of affordability, trying to rebuild neighborhoods. So it's my pleasure to bring up Christopher Kennedy, who's the executive director of Habitat for Humanity.
Thank you, Senator. This is huge. It's tremendous. Habitat for Humanity is actually one of the largest builders of homes for homeowners in the city of Buffalo. And as the senator said, this funding is for home ownership opportunities. The vast majority of funding that comes from every level of government for affordable housing is directed towards rental opportunities, and it does not provide the opportunity for new creation of generational wealth. This has the potential to be absolutely transformative for the city of Buffalo. And as someone who builds homes in Buffalo, we look at how many homes can we build, and we are limited by the fact that we take a very significant financial loss on every home that we build. We have to go out and figure out how to raise funds, and it has such a very limiting effect on our ability to impact the community. It's very important for us to work as part of our community to rebuild neighborhoods and create not just random infill housing, but rebuild neighborhoods of communities that can live and be safe together. So I really want to thank Senator Ryan and thank everybody who has been part of this conversation and support through Assembly Member Rivera getting it through the Assembly as well. This is absolutely huge. So thank you very much, Senator.
Thanks so much, Chris. Thank you so much. So we talked to a lot of stakeholders when we were putting this plan together, and we were really struggling to have a better understanding about the Buffalo housing market and the pressures on it and how much that's changed. So we reached out to the Buffalo Niagara Realtors Association, and Brenda Alacy from there has just been a treasure trove of information, and it's my pleasure to bring up Brenda.
Thank you, Senator Ryan, and your staff for all of your hard work and all the other folks who have contributed to this really massive effort. It is like Christmas, and this is quite a gift that Senator Ryan has delivered for us. And for that, I want to thank you for not making Buffalo an afterthought, not making us a footnote for a change. And as a kid who grew up at the corner of Leroy and Grider, I can appreciate where you're coming from with areas that need to be built and opportunities for everybody to achieve the American dream. I represent 3,700 members who are realtor professionals in this community. These people wake up unemployed every day. And right now they're facing a twin challenge, which is low inventory and high interest rates. So it's very difficult for people to get into a home. And frankly, rents are rising because of that as well. So with Senator Ryan's four-part plan, I know that we can make a difference in this community, that we can provide opportunities. And I can't wait to come back to this corner someday and see a property on here. Yep. I look forward to that day and many other days like that in this community. And I want to say thank you to the Senator for helping people achieve the home or achieve the dream of home ownership, and to help realtors continue to help people meet that goal of home ownership, which will indeed help people develop generational wealth for everybody in Western New York. Thank you all.
Thanks.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. And I just want to take a moment to, you know, to thank, you know, my office. They've been working overtime on this plan for about 8 months. So thank you very much to each of you here who helped put this together. It was a lot of different pieces, and we're able to put it all together. So we all know the challenge in front of us now. Everyone behind us, we're going to get to work. We're going to make Buffalo a better place, and we're going to have better neighborhoods. If you have any questions for myself or anyone behind us, now's the time. All right.
I'm kind of curious about the long-term funding of housing.
Yep.
Albany has seemed to say that tax breaks are necessary to, you know, really keep these programs going year after year after year. Do you foresee, you know, having to have an allocation like this to kind of make up the financing gap to get new infill housing like this built?
Yeah. I mean, look, tax breaks work in super wealthy jurisdictions who could afford to use their tax dollars to say, you know, we're going to spend money on this. But you know where tax breaks don't work? Poor communities. They don't work in Buffalo. They barely work in Erie County, because all the tax break means for people of the city of Buffalo, if you put this house here and said they don't have to pay taxes, means everyone else on the block has to pay more. So we're not in a position to subsidize our way out of our housing problem. We need direct allocations of cash from Albany, and that's how we're going to get out of our housing problem. And it's going to give us the ability then to have homes on the tax roll that can put back into our tax roll. We look at this almost like an infrastructure improvement project. We provide the infrastructure pays off. And in this case, we're going to be providing the housing, and the housing is going to pay off. It's not just for the people living in the house. It's not just for the neighborhood. It's for everyone in the city of Buffalo will benefit from one more house on the tax roll that's paying taxes.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time: baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it, with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.